Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I kick off the show today with a few words about reading, because the numbers of people not reading the Bible or not reading books in general is simply staggering. A full quarter of the population did not read so much as a single book in the past year. But there's some good news. And that good news is that all of us can get hooked on reading again. There are so many benefits, it's hard to know where to begin. Reading improves discipline. It improves vocabulary, memory, creativity. The list goes on. Reasoning, relaxation. It can even stave off diseases such as Alzheimer's. And, along with biographies of martyrs in early Christian history, I have been greatly inspired by reading stories of modern-day saints. Just last night, I read the account of a man who survived the horrendous social experiment of Mao. And I was fascinated by this because in watching television, you see all of these modern politicians spouting, well, almost the same or at least similar platitudes as you find in Mao's Little Red Book. But he imposed a horrendous experiment on the Chinese populace. And what many people forget is that some 30 million died in what was imagined to be a great leap forward. A great leap forward into, well, the heaven of communism or socialism. And reading in the comfort of my home, I'm transported back to a time and place where millions considered a tiny piece of bread, a small cup of water, a luxury. And as I read, I could imagine myself in those circumstances. I felt as though I was being lifted out of myself and placed into the life of other people. Their suffering became my suffering. Their story became my own. And as I read, I could not help but contemplate the immense growth of Christianity in the face of modern persecutions. Even as thousands are daily turning away from Christ in the West, tens of thousands are turning towards Christ in the East. On the one hand, are genuine encounters with uncreated energy in the epicenter of religious persecution. On the other, an epidemic of complacency and spiritual malnourishment, a form of godliness but denying its power. Just as faith without works Is form devoid of substance, so religion devoid of God's uncreated energy is little more than baptized secular humanism. Acquiescence to logical truth propositions devoid of living reality. All of those thoughts and many more were coursing through my mind as I was reading. But that is precisely what reading does. It provides an enhanced perspective on reality. As we see the divine actively participating in the lives of people past and present, east and west, we begin to realize how God works redemptively in and through our lives as well. If there was a secret to John Wesley's otherworldly ministry, I'm convinced it was reading. Depth of understanding gained through reading allowed him to tap into the wellsprings of uncreated energies. And in exhorting other preachers to read, Wesley pulled no punches. He said, "What has exceedingly hurt you in times past, nay, and I fear to this very day, is a lack of reading." And so Wesley urged his readers to begin at once, to make the life practice of reading a daily routine. And this will make the quote of the day. Wesley said, "Fix some part of every day for private exercises. You may acquire a taste which you do not presently have. What is tedious at first will afterwards be pleasant. Whether you like it or not, read, pray daily. It is for your life. There is no other way. Else you will be a trifler all your days and a petty, superficial preacher. Do there is no other way. Do justice to your own soul. Give it time and the means to grow. Do not starve yourself any longer." Those are poignant and powerful words. Well, there are many other examples I could give you. I think of C.S. Lewis. He's a classic, and he may well have been the most influential British writer in history. Perhaps it was his reading that made that the case. Like his parents, and they were a great example to him in this regard, Lewis read ferociously. In fact, that's what led him to become a follower of Jesus Christ. He loved a wide variety of genres, not the least of which was fantasy and fiction. And though he was unquestionably a prodigious intellect, these genres continually stoked his imagination. He knew that by prodding readers through the wardrobe into Narnia, they might well emerge with renewed sensitivities to all that is real. And one other thing, while Lewis loved contemporary writings, he most treasured the classics, and thus he counsels you and me to augment the reading of every new book with one that has withstood the test of time. And not only that, he counsels us to read the classics until we own their contents. In his opinion, an unliterary person may be defined as one who reads books only once. The point being, when you get a hold of a really good book, read it over and over and over again. There are a couple of books that we are making available this month for your benefit, and I would highly recommend that you read them. The first is The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, and the other is Money, Greed, and God, Why Capitalism is the Solution and Not the Problem. Both books by Jay Richards, and both are absolutely fantastic. You will find, when you read The Human Advantage, how God has made us not as materialistic machines, but God has given us capacities to scale the mountain of Genesis and actually encounter the living God, eating of the fruit of life. We can be changed from one glory to another. The Human Advantage is absolutely exhilarating. It's an incredibly important book. It dispenses, as Jay Richards so often does, with many of the myths that are prevalent in our society. Money, Greed, and God does so as well, a book that we have recommended over the years. Find them on the web, available for your support of the ministry. Check them out again at equip.org. When we come back, we will go directly to your questions. 888-ASK-HANK.
In his new book, The Human Advantage, Jay Richards reveals what is really happening in the American economy. By dispelling myths about capitalism, greed, and upward mobility, Dr. Richards reveals how to rebuild a culture of virtue by capitalizing on the skills that are most uniquely human: creativity, resilience, and empathy for the needs of others. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI or visit online at equip.org. We'll be back with more in just a moment from Hank Hanegraaff. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Smart machines are reshaping our world and our future. But these machines will never be a substitute for what Dr. Jay Richards calls the human advantage. Yet it is critical for the next generation of Christians to understand that in the future, more and more jobs will be done by smart machines, and we must plan accordingly. The new book by Dr. Jay Richards, The Human Advantage, will help you understand the increasing threat posed by artificial intelligence and show why the marvelous creation of the human mind and body can never be matched by any machine. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go to our phone calls. First, talk to Charlie listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, WHVN. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I don't know if you've gotten this one before. I know that, God, gives his angels and human beings and all his creation free will. Revelation 12, I think it's 7 through 9, don't quote me, though, it says that the Satan was cast down to earth. Now, I understand the free will part if God cast him out of heaven after the war, but couldn't he just cast him out and let the devil pick earth? In other words, did God actually send him down to earth? Because we also have in Job where he goes up to the council and God asks him where he has been, and he says, I've been to and fro on the earth.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. One is the Bible uses anthropomorphic language. In other words, the Bible speaks in language that we can attain or relate to. So casting out of heaven is a way of talking about being separated from the loving presence of God. But, of course, nothing is ultimately separated from the presence of God. Even in hell, we will be separated from his loving presence. But God is present to all of his creation at all times. So the thing that we may say is that God created volitional beings, as you point out. He created angels. But God does not rub out those angels. God allows those angels to continue in existence, even if they have chosen to live apart from his glory and his grandeur and his grace, even though they have chosen not to worship him, but to worship other things. So God allows Satan, as well as angels in general, to continue in existence. The beauty is that there are angels, the vast majority of whom are helpers in the human condition. But there are also fallen angels, as you allude to, who seek to thwart us in the human condition. But we have more than that. I mean, as a result of Adam's fall, we are beset with all kinds of problems. There's a triad, at least: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so God has not only allowed for these kinds of temptations to remain in the world, but he has given us the ability to overcome those temptations. In fact, I'm always reminded, as I think about the full armor of God, that Paul begins, or the prologue to the covering, is God's providence to us. His providence is that God provides far more providence for protection than he does for Satan's pillaging. But he does ask us to partake of means, to put on the full armor of God, and he says if we do that, we can withstand the powers and principalities of darkness. So again, we put on the covering. We take advantage of the means that God has given to us, and by doing that, we overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Okay, Hank, I guess just to piggyback off that real quick, I guess what was throwing me off is they actually used the word earth. Couldn't they say he just kicked out of heaven and then with his free will he could have went? I'm not saying that he wouldn't have come to earth. And the other thing that's...
But it's not as though... I think this is where I was using the word anthropomorphic language. I don't think we want to press the language such that it walks on all fours, as though Satan is in one place and now he's fallen to another place. As you pointed out, the language of Job itself gives you a sense that Satan can appear in the presence of God. So we don't want to press the language so that it doesn't make any sense. Just like we don't want to say that when God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, it means that God had big feet. Or if God says to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" God suddenly loses his omniscience. This is anthropomorphic language. It's language that we can relate to. Satan is present in this world, just as angels are present in this world, just as everything is always present to God at every time. So the language itself, I think, oftentimes stumbles us when we don't read it in the sense in which it's intended.
Okay, yeah, I get it now. Thank you, Hank, so much. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Sigrid, listening in El Paso, Texas, KELP next. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Great. Little background to my question. I called you 2 years ago. My husband left me for another woman, and I was in deep depression. So I know that the only way that I made it through thus far is through the grace of God and His mercy. And so I more so dedicated my life to Jesus. And so my question is, it says that people are, or humans are made in the image of God.
Yes.
But I worked in, my job is customer service representative over the phone. I've worked in that line of work for the past 13 years, and I'm experiencing every single day how prevalent Satan is, because the way that I am talked to is just horrible. People don't know me, and they say all kinds of things to me. So
your question,
hatefulness.
Yeah. If you can get your question,
In what way are humans made in the image of God when human beings are so mean and despiteful?
Sure, because human beings are fallen. All of us are fallen, but we were created in the image and likeness of God. And in fact, the way God created us was so that we could ascend the mountain to the Shekinah glory of God and be transformed from one glory to another with unveiled faces, as the Apostle Paul said it. So we were not only made in the image and likeness of God, but we were made to be gods, gods by grace. So this is something that we can attain to, but obviously because of the fall, sin is prevalent in the lives of all of us. And as believers, we overcome the deeds of the flesh. We do that through the spiritual disciplines. We do that through partaking of the graces that God makes available to us in the Eucharistic assembly, in ecclesia, in the church. But yes, the fallen condition is such that people are mean, but that does not mean that the image, though marred, cannot be restored. And what we need to do in a fallen world is use our gifts and our talents, the very things that God has imbued us with, to make a difference while we are yet here. Let me go back to the phone lines quickly. Talk to John in Richmond, British Columbia, Canada, K-A-R-I. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
Good.
Hi. My question centers around, I'm getting a lot of flack from Christians when I mention works. It's almost like they want to throw me out of the church. I'm not talking about initial salvation. We're talking about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, which is a gift. I'm talking about after a person is saved, as in Ephesians 2, 10. And I come across the verse like Romans. My question is around Romans chapter 2, verses 6 to about 10. And this, it seems to be, for a Christian, a works-oriented salvation, because it says, verse 7 says, eternal life to those who by patient continuance, not just doing works, but continuance in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, which sort of matches up with Matthew 7:21, where he says, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father in heaven. And so
that's why we shouldn't set faith and works in opposition to one another. It is by grace through faith that we are saved and not of works. You're right. That's precisely what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. But faith includes good works, not because they earn salvation, but because they cooperate with divine grace, which does the work of transformation. Justification is actually being made righteous through the presence of God in us. And while Paul preaches against the efficacy of the Jewish law for salvation, he doesn't preach against good works themselves, nor does he hold good works, as I started out saying, in opposition to faith. Much more could be said. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And thank you so much for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference in the lives of people all over the planet. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Smart machines are reshaping our world and our future. But these machines will never be a substitute for what Dr. Jay Richards calls the human advantage. Yet it is critical for the next generation of Christians to understand that in the future, more and more jobs will be done by smart machines, and we must plan accordingly. The new book by Dr. Jay Richards, The Human Advantage, will help you understand the increasing threat posed by artificial intelligence and show why the marvelous creation of the human mind and body can never be matched by any machine. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.